Today's Transmissions podcast is brought to you by 80stees.com. 80stees.com has an incredible selection of Transformers shirts and hoodies, including some amazing Transformers costume hoodies. Transform into Grimlock, Megatron, or even Optimus Prime with the 80stees.com costume hoodies. Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we welcome David, Pete, and Andrew from Audio Nights Theater to talk about how they bring a particular IDW Transformers comic book to life. So get ready for it, we're about to start Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that remembers when radio was king. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hi-ho!
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Let's talk Transformers.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We've got some very special guests on this episode of Transmissions. If you love the Transformers more than meets the eye comic like we do, chances are you'll enjoy the work of the Audio Nights Theater. They've taken on the ambitious project of turning each issue of More Than Meets the Eye into an audio drama that you can listen to as you read along with the comic. It's an amazing effort by fans for fans, and we're pleased to welcome them on the show. So who do we have here with us?
Well, thanks for having us. This is Ninja Dave.
All right, welcome.
And I'm joined by Pete.
Hi,
Pete
guys.
Lentz.
I'm Pete Lentz.
Awesome. He's the head editor for our project, and we've got Andrew Schatz. Say hi, Andrew.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
All right.
Awesome.
Welcome guys to the show. Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we wanted to have you on because we really have been enjoying the show, enjoying the radio drama. You've got the first four episodes of More Than Meets the Eye out, and we want to get some get some inside info about how this project came to be and where you're going with it. So let's start off with just how did this project get started?
Awesome.
Go ahead, Dave.
You guys are okay.
Yeah,
I'll field this one. Sure. I had this crazy idea that I really wanted to be a voice actor, and since I didn't want to move out to Hollywood to try to find my fame and fortune, I said, "Hey, let's get some buddies together and see if we can do this audio drama for this awesome comic that I'm reading." So. I got a bunch of friends together. We started doing some stuff over Skype, and it turned into us working on More Than Meets the Eye. It's been a whirlwind adventure ever since.
All right, so
that sounds strangely like how this podcast got started.
Bunch of friends sitting around in the bar, and it was like, "Hey, we like talking. Let's keep doing that."
But I guess, unlike us, you guys knew each other before you started, right?
Yeah, we did.
Some of us did.
I guess I knew both of you guys in some capacity. I knew I've known Andrew for a few years now through Transformers groups, and actually met Pete during some stuff with Sharticon, the Transformers convention we had here in Charlotte a few years back.
Okay.
Yeah, I brought my I heard about actually I went to a trivia thing at a local comic book store that Dave and the other Sharticon guys were putting on, and I came in and sat down and ended up what I came in like second, I think, didn't I? I came in second in the quick change contest, the changing contest.
Yeah.
But
he won a Generations Blitzwing that day.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Right.
Bard still sings songs of it.
But and then I took my son to my son was I think 5 at the time, I think. Mm-hmm. And I took my son to Shardacon, and we had a blast. He picked up a I took him to the comic book shop that I had gone to the trivia at, had a booth set up. And so, you know, I wanted to give him some love and you know, buy some stuff from him. So my son went over there and picked up a G2 Megatron. The I think that's the G2, the green tank.
Oh, wow.
The green and purple tank. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was out of the box, and you know, of course, some pieces were missing. But he dug it because it was a green and purple tank. He thought that was cool, and I was like, you know, that changes, right? And he was like, oh, it does. And he started, you know, and that was my son's first like big foray into Transformers. And now he sees that daddy has all these unopened Transformers all over my studio, and he's like, "Daddy, we're gonna open those?" I'm like, "No, we're not opening those." But that's how I met Dave at the trivia, and then I met Andrew the first time we all got together to record the first issue over Skype. Was when I met Andrew.
That's right. Yeah, I knew. I met Dave like at a. I joined this meetup group just to make some new friends and stuff, and met Dave there. That's the first time I met him, and one of the first things we talked about was Transformers, oddly enough.
Yeah.
I think you were the geeks,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think Dave was talking about maybe doing like a rock opera Transformers thing back then, something like that. And it's you know, we stayed in touch and hung out here and there over the years, and you know, I've had a big interest in voice acting for years, and you know, also just loved the Transformers, and you know, this project kind of it combined a lot of my interests with audio, voice acting, and Transformers, and just seemed like the perfect thing. So that was really cool to get to be part of this.
Awesome. So what would you say is your kind of overarching goal for this project? If I could ask you, you know, 10 years down the line, what do you hope to accomplish with this?
Well, you know, the short-term goals are that we want to, you know, hone our vocal talents and also our editing skills, but we want to do more audio drama projects. You know, it'd be great if Pro, you know, took note of us and said, hey, you know, these guys are doing some pretty cool stuff. We'd like to get them working on this stuff legitimately. That'd be cool. And of course, we're open to doing a lot of different projects for this entire comic book industry. We're actually making some changes and making some progress on expanding our wheelhouse essentially to cater to the entire market. So you know, anyone who's reading comics can enjoy an audio drama component to it. So that's what we're building. You guys want to expound on that?
I would say right now. What we really hope to accomplish with the Audio Nights is to be the first to market with a fully immersive audio comic book component, which they really, you know, there really isn't one. It really isn't anything like that. I mean, if you look online, you'll find some motion comics here or there, or for instance, Marvel Unlimited just released like soundtracks to go along with different comics and whatnot, but none of the ones that I've seen have really touched the market of full audio immersion with sound effects, music, and dialogue, and that's something that you know that's something that we're really trying to do. And I know certainly I'm inspired by and I always talk about this because I remember it very fondly from childhood. The record read along books.
Oh yeah,
you know, like that had the little 45 in the back,
mm-hmm,
and you put it on, and you know, when you hear the chimes ring like this, you know, to me, when Dave originally approached me, the idea of doing something like this, that really stuck in my head. Like, oh yes, we need to do something like that, because you know, unless you're a child of that era, you know, you don't really even know that was a thing. And right. I loved those when I was little, man. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And mm-hmm. and here we are now, you know, all in our 30s and grown up and, you know, doing it kind of for real. More people are listening to it than just us.
Yeah.
So I think we might be doing something right there. So that's what I would say our goal with this project is really to be the first to come out with a legitimate audio comic book component, something that people who are fans of something like More Than Meets the Eye, if they get, you know, if they get an issue of it and they want to download the audio to go along with it, they can, you know, read the book and then listen to the, you know, listen to our thing to go with it. And it really kind of pulls you into the book.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'd like to integrate with a lot of things that are out there. Everything from comics, Comixology to iTunes to Madefire and other emerging and innovative ways to distribute comics. And I think the digital landscape as well as the print landscape is still very viable. And I think, a lot of people love reading and they love being immersed in things. And how better to do that than having voices and sound effects and music along with it? So,
all right.
And yeah. One thing I'll add to that with what we want to accomplish with the project, you know, I like everything they said, but you know, we also wanted to show that we can do an audio project or audio accompaniment with a comic book, and we can be totally open to the fan base. You know, we have you have the ability, you know, if you're a fan, you can audition for a role with us. You can, you know, if you have enough audio skills and knowledge, maybe you can be an audio editor for us. We don't discount anyone. So I just wanted to add that. We're very open to the fan base, all parts of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Absolutely.
So why did you choose More Than Meets the Eye as your first project?
Dave, you should field that one.
Okay. Yeah. I was the one who actually got everyone started with this project and introducing them to More Than Meets the Eye. Some of them had already had some experience with the IDW Transformers brand as well, but few had really gotten into it as deeply as I did. I was really affected by the Rewind's Last Message YouTube video that was produced by a number of fans, mm-hmm. and I thought, hey, you know, this is a really awesome series. And so I just kind of tore through the issues and really just devoured this stuff. And I was like, man, this is, even if it wasn't giant transforming robots, the story is insane. It's insanely good. Yeah. So it just expressed itself in I have to excise this. I have to share this with other people. That's the only way I can keep myself from going insane. So I introduced it to the other guys and it just took off from there. So, I mean, More Than MCI is just an incredible story. It's drawn beautifully. It's got so much to it. Characters and just, you know, drama. It's the perfect space opera.
Awesome. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Well said, Dave.
Thanks.
So what do you think makes it a good candidate for a radio drama?
Pete or Andrew?
Well, I would think it's because there's so many characters in More Than Meets the Eye. It makes it a good test for voice actors, certainly. There's about 10 of us that do voices right now, and there are way more characters than that in More Than Meets the Eye. So obviously there's plenty of food for everybody, you know. And as Dave said, the story is so immersive that it just naturally lends itself to a project like this. I mean, there's, you know, when you're it really is written just like an adult Transformers episode with, mm-hmm. with relatively adult themes and, you know, characters that really, I guess, really resonate with people. You know, certainly one of the reasons the comic is so big is because it's so well written, and these characters they're not one-offs, and they're certainly not, I think we discussed this a few weeks ago. The characters in More Than Meets the Eye are not the A-listers. You know, they're, you know, mm-hmm. we're not talking about Optimus Prime and Megatron. I mean, of course, they're in the comic now, but, you know, right. when the comic started, I mean, you know, Rodimus, Whirl, you know, Swerve, you know, mm-hmm. several of the mini-bots are main characters in it. Trailbreaker, Trailcutter, if you want to get I don't. I refuse to call him that because that's not what his name is to me, you know. But with characters that not as well known, you really do have to try to get their points across and get their, you know, make them become A-listers essentially. And I think Roberts did an amazing job doing that with More Than Meets the Eye. So when it, you know, when Dave came to me and said, "Hey, you want to do More Than Meets the Eye?" Initially I went, "What's that?" Because I had never read it before. And then I read it and I was like, "Oh yes, we should totally do this. Cause that's a great idea." So that's what I would say. That was a very long answer. I apologize.
No problem.
I'll add my little thing to that. I'd say, I told Dave this and Pete as well, maybe a couple of weeks ago. You know, no other comic book I've ever read has made me care and feel for the characters the way More Than Meets the Eye does. You know, it's like there's a lot of character development, you know, when certain things happen to certain characters and they're heartbreaking, you know, you feel it and you're just like, wow, that was really moving. That was very touching. Whereas other comics I've read in the past, oh, this guy died and you just know, well, he'll be back in 3 issues. Whereas in this, you don't know that, you know, you really feel that loss, you know, and you just, you know, everything that happens, you see the consequences, you see how things deeply affect the characters. You know, and it's like James Roberts has literally created a fully fledged society with all the issues that are going on with religion, war, love, friendship, sacrifice, loss, just everything that's going on, like Pete said, is a more adult, mature version of Transformers. So that's why I think it's deserving of an audio treatment.
Awesome. Yeah. So what has the response been to your show so far?
It's been very positive. We've got a lot of fans who've stepped up and really impressed us with a lot of their characterizations of characters when they audition for roles. They audition for roles that we have open. They give us a lot of support. They're sharing our posts. They're really engaging with us and giving us feedback and really just kind of helping us evolve the project as well. It's been a lot of fun doing this stuff and really seeing that it affects other people positively and that they want to be a part of it. That really helps, you know, give us the fuel to keep going too. Cause I mean, it's one thing to do it just for ourselves, but when other people take note of it and they appreciate what it is and they want to give something to it as well, that's when it really becomes more of a community. And that's something that we love. So.
Yeah. Nice. So far, in the people that I've talked to, everybody that's done the full experience where they've had a copy of the issue and then listened to the drama as well while they read it, or if we had had it playing up on a screen, like if we had a computer attached to a TV and put the comic up on a big screen and played the audio over a stereo, and they all seem to like everybody seems to really gravitate to that. They think that's really cool, you know, that when you have the comic and the audio drama together. And most people say that they'd never thought about listening to a comic book before. And the only negative that I can say about what we do is that some people who go to the website and that, because, you know, obviously we have our dramas up there, but we can't give people the comic, you know,
right?
we can't give people the comic. So, it's kind of on them to go find it. And a lot of people that I would, that I've had listen to it, they don't have the comic. So the negative that they're saying is they don't understand that there's no narration. So they can't really tell what's going on. Well, the biggest reason that we don't have narration is because it's not meant to be a standalone drama. It's not meant to stand on its own. It's meant to be enjoyed with the comic, because certain sound effects and musical cues and you know, different dialogue hits, as you listen to the drama, it's supposed to go along with the pictures that you're seeing on the page. You know, if like, for instance, Cyclonus flies by a window, you know, at some point when you're looking at the frame, Cyclonus is going to fly by that window. So you hear this whoosh, but if you don't, if you're not looking at the comic, you just randomly hear a whoosh. Like, what was that? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I didn't look at the picture. You know, that's that's the negative that we're that I've heard about it. And then, of course, my fix for that is always, well, go get the comic and support IDW. Point. You know,
yeah,
get the comic and then do it again, and then you'll understand.
Right.
And, you know, and so that's one thing that we and the Audio Knights. Definitely, I wouldn't call it a struggle, but that's the word I'm going to use anyway.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. It's the challenge of not only getting someone to want to listen to it, but getting them to make sure they have a copy of the comic first and then listen to it. So, you know, right now that's the hurdle we're trying to get over is to constantly remind people, get the comic, the comic. Yeah. It's not to stand on its own. Get the comic.
Yeah, without Hasbro or IDW's permission to actually distribute that stuff, or, you know, like include, you know, slides in a video or in a motion, or, you know, develop a motion comic. You know, this is all we can do at the moment. It's just a fan creation, but we definitely want to encourage fans to purchase the comics and support IDW. And enjoy the experience, because I mean it truly is an experience. We hear fans all the time clamoring for an animated More Than Meets the Eye experience, and if we don't have that, you know, what's the next best thing? Can you have that animation, that motion in your mind when you read? And does the audio drama do that for you? There's so many ways to stimulate that. That experience and to make it that immersive, type of experience that makes you want to keep coming back to that. So,
yeah, that's interesting, because I hadn't thought of people coming to your show from the opposite end. Because, you know, me, I've been a longtime IDW reader, so of course, coming to your show, I immediately had all the comics and I said, okay, I'll read along with the comic with the drama. So. I didn't think about people coming to your show first and not having the comic, but that's interesting. And that's good, because that gets more people to read the comic.
Absolutely,
one of the things I think that's important to us too is to try to help people. I mean, not only obviously we want an audience too. You know, we want people to like what we're doing, but more to the point, I think I really just want people to read the comic. Because the comic's damn good.
We are spreading the gospel of Primus, man.
Oh yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
and what better way to spread the gospel than, you know, write our own chapter of it?
You know, I've read the comics over and over, but I haven't read them really since you guys have been doing this. And really, I enjoy, since I do have the memory of reading it, I just enjoy listening to you guys while I'm, you know, doing whatever, and I don't have the comic in front of me, but I do have that memory of it. So it's just neat seeing it play out in my head.
And we hope that would be the case too for those who have visual impairments. Maybe they're not able to read well or see the pages well, and we wanted to make this a product for them too, so that they can also enjoy the experience.
Yeah, there's so many good stories out there, and you know, the screen readers and stuff don't really do it for comics like they would for books. So yeah, the blind audience, I think that's a big untapped area that this could hit.
Sure.
To really be successful in that vein, though, that's one of the things where, like, we would need to be able to provide narration as well, right. to really, like, someone who is absolutely blind, like cannot see, they would definitely need narration, but we would obviously need IDW's permission for that. Mm-hmm. But that is something that certainly, if we had the opportunity, we would discuss with them.
That's right.
So have you gotten some feedback from the actual comic creators? So James Roberts, Alex Milne, Josh Burcham, Joanna LaFuente, what do they think of the show?
I'll let you guys take something of that. I'll follow up. Yeah.
Well, go ahead, it, Okay. Well, at TFCon Chicago, I think Dave had a CD with our first three issues on there, and he, you know, gave it to a bunch of the artists, bunch of the, you know, attendees there, and of course he gave one to James Roberts, and took James Roberts a while to listen to it. You know, he's probably a little busy with making a fictional universe we all love. But, yeah, but I think it was like a couple weeks ago, he put on, like right around New Year's, he put on Twitter that he listened to it, he loved what we're doing, and he had words of encouragement saying, hey, I want you guys should keep doing this. So the fact that the man who writes the book that we love said, I love it, keep doing it, that's the best to me. That's the best feedback.
Big feather in the cap.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then for the most part, you know, fans have told me they've listened to it, you know, look at forums online, and people are just loving it. They're like, wow, what you guys are doing is really cool. And I've even had some friends on Facebook that have seen some of my postings go, hey, I checked out the comic with your audio, and, you know, I'm not really into Transformers, but that's really well done. It, you know, it sounds very professional. And some of my friends are, you know, they're people with a lot of audio experience, and, you know, they've been recording for years, and for them to tell me it sounds good and professional is just the best feedback ever for me.
Awesome.
Yeah. I can tell you that the, you know, some of the artists as well have really been positive and receptive to it. And I think one thing that helps, because I know with as much work as they do with it on these issues, which is an incredible amount of work, because they're incredibly talented, and they have deadlines, and they've got mouths to feed, and they've got all these other things going on, but they still manage to put out an incredible looking universe that even if it didn't have text, it would stand on its own, you know, in its own way. And I think what the audio drama does is it allows the reader to, you know, take that time to really take in the scene, because I mean that's what we do to put those sound effects in there. If there's something going on in the background, we want to be able to give it some kind of representation in the book, so, you know, so it accurately portrays that scene. So I think it gives the readers and a chance to really appreciate, you know, spend more time to appreciate the art, because, you know, there have been times when I've been reading a comic and I just zoom through, just read it and just go on to the next book, but I don't really take the time to really enjoy the artwork, and I think this really helps that as well. So
cool.
Yeah.
So Dave, you mentioned you were trying to get into professional voice acting. So what prior experience do all of you have with voice acting and audio editing, or is this kind of your first real you know, kind of attempt at it?
Well, for me, I've actually auditioned for a couple of projects in the past, and I've done some light audio editing for some other projects. It's really just been kind of just as a, you know, as a needed basis, like, you know, PowerPoint presentation here or Pinnacle Studios production there. It's just really stuff in the past, but nothing to this level of detail. I can tell you, I've always loved doing voices. I've been that guy who, you know, broke out his cassette tape, and he, you know, recorded some key exchanges between members of, you know, X-Men or Transformers or whatever cartoon or TV show happened to be on, and I would just go and I'd rehearse it, and I'd put my own spin on it, and that kind of thing. So it's something I've always loved to do, and I was like for some reason or another, I just never, I guess, headed west to see if I could make it as a voice actor. I guess that was a more too much of a volatile scene for me, I guess. I know there are other people who are really doing it well. But yeah, I think now, especially with the way technology has gone, essentially anybody who has the equipment and the time and the patience can learn how to be a voice actor or to learn how to edit dialogue or edit audio and really just make some things just from home. So that's one of the things that we wanted to kind of help grow in the fandom.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed just in the last, I guess it was issue or episode 4, you had some really notable guest actors in this most recent episode. So I'd been following on Twitter, because I saw that I follow Brian Shearer on Twitter, and mm-hmm. I saw you guys had gotten him for a guest voice, and you also got John 3.0 mm-hmm. to do a guest voice. So how did you hook up with those guys and and you know get them on?
We asked nicely.
Yeah. Yep. That's yeah, it that's pretty much.
I mean, we've asked a lot of people to be to join us on our Fool's Crusade, and some have said yes and some have said no, and you know, so it's just one of those things. But you know, we understand that, you know, voice actors have their own projects and things that they're working on too. But for the ones that are able to pop in and do some cameos, we really appreciate it, and they have a lot of fun doing it too. I can say for Brian Shearer, he's a, you know, he's a kick-ass artist, but he never knew that he was also a kick-ass voice actor. So.
Oh, he's a fantastic God, voice actor. His characters, yeah. The characters of Sonic and Boom that he did for issue 4, they're fantastic. I mean, they're bit characters. They've only got, you know, a couple of lines apiece. And then we had him do some incidental dialogue, you know, some dialogue that wasn't in the book, just to have them talking, you know, behind the scenes, you know, underneath the action.
Yeah, and I did notice that, and I really liked that. I thought that was really cool how you added a little bit to the scene, like, because in the comic, that dialogue is not there, but you get the sense that they're having a conversation and having that, you know, very subtly underlaid there. I was trying to hear what they were actually saying. That was so...
I'll send you the script. But, you know, yeah, he knocked it out of the park. Like, I would love him to do more characters, actually. I think he's doing when we get to Shadow Play. Yeah, he's doing Quark, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Quark, that's right.
Night Beat's buddy.
Friend,
yeah. Yeah, he's going to do Quark for us.
So good.
Oh, yeah, it is. And it sounds, you know, even what he did with Sonic and Boom, you know, they're supposed to be like twins or buddies or whatever. I'm gonna call them duo cons. I don't think they are, but I'm just gonna call them that.
I thought they were named as duo cons in the comic.
Oh yeah,
and I think they were Spark Brothers. They were Spark.
I thought
Rodimus
said, or someone said, like, what good is like one duo con?
I guess. Oh no, that was Shock and Awe.
Shock and Awe.
Okay, sorry. I thought that's who you were talking about.
Yeah, Sonic and Boom were the
Sonic and Boom, the two guys that infiltrate Delphi in issue.
Right.
Yeah, but even those two guys, like Shearer's voice for both of those was so distinct for both characters. And then we had him do his lines for Quark, for Shadow Play, for when we get there. We're slowly but surely we're going to get there. And his Quark is completely different. Like, exactly. Like Dave said, who knew he had that kind of voice talent underneath him? He was really, really good. And John Bailey, of course.
All the voice actors we've had, you know, John 3.0 Bailey, we've had Lady of Wreck, Amy Morgan, we've had David Kaye.
David Kaye.
Chris McFeely. Yeah.
David Kaye. What's he going to do?
That was a win.
That was awesome work with Kaye. Oh, yeah. I guess you have not seen our YouTube video that A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste, that he has a celebrity cameo in as Trepan.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen that.
Definitely.
Yeah, we do have a YouTube channel that's got what we call dramatic reads. They're essentially little 6-minute scenes taken from more recent issues of More Than Meets the Eye, just to give people a connection to the newer material. You know, because obviously we're not to issue 36 yet, and you know, but we want to give some people, you know, give people some connection to those works as well. So we started doing. Little 5 and 6 minute scenes, you know, a couple pages out of the newer books or whatever. And when it calls for it, a character reprises his role from, you know, the earlier ones. For A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste, I did Rung, because I do Rung for the, you know, for the continuity. And so I came back and did Rung for the dramatic read too. And that's the one we got David Kaye on. And the feels. The excitement.
So good.
So Brian Shearer, he's done inks for More Than Meets the Eye in the past. So I'm pretty sure he's familiar with the comic. But John 3.0, he's kind of the maybe successor to the Mr. Movie Voice on YouTube.
So, yeah.
And I was wondering, is he actually a More Than Meets the Eye reader, or did doing this work with you, like, get him interested in the comic at all?
As far as I know, he was already into it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I think he prides himself on being a very, very successful Peter Cullen Optimus Prime impersonator.
Does he do Prime for the Dr. Smoove YouTube videos?
Or? He does.
I believe so. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
those are hilarious.
It's uncanny though, too. Like his Prime is excellent. But when we were talking about doing More Than Meets the Eye, the subject came up. Well, would we like John to do Optimus? And no, actually, and not because he sucks at it or anything, but just because he's so known for doing that. Why not give him the chance to do a different Transformer or somebody else? So yeah.
And he said he really wants to do Nightbeat too.
Oh, yeah, okay. He did Nightbeat for what was the name of the wrench, the lift, and the briefcase.
Ah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's the another one of our dramatic reads on our YouTube channel. John Bailey did Nightbeat to Amy Morgan's Nautica.
Yeah, I did hear that one. I heard that one. That was very good. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to keep making those because those are fun little one-offs. You know, it keeps different different actors in our stable busy, because we have people that are joining us that have signed up for characters that we just haven't gotten to those issues yet. So, there's like, okay, well, you're going to be Crankcase in issue 7. Yay. We're on issue 4. Wait around, dude.
6 months for that.
Yeah. So giving them the opportunity to, do a have a character in a dramatic reading, gives them something to do, which is cool. It keeps them interested and keeps everything fun, moving, and it keeps us turning out more product too, which is important. We don't want to get stagnant,
right?
Yeah,
that's right.
So how long does it take to produce an episode?
I'll take this one if you want.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
At first, we were recording people off of Skype and all that, and then we decided to switch over to using audio interfaces, and didn't matter. It still took about 3 months to make an issue. We all have jobs and families and those fun adult responsibilities that get in the way. But if we didn't have those, we'd knock it out in a couple weeks. But now that we're 4 issues in, we're kind of learning the process. We're getting it done faster, figuring out how to do things a little quicker, more efficiently. So I think issue 5 is probably going to come out in a shorter time frame than issue 1 through 4 did. So probably under 3 months this time.
Well, right now, I think our production is a little stunted because our head editor is working on a restoration project. So,
Yeah,
we're speaking in third person. I am working on restoring issues 1 and 2, and what I'm not really restoring anything. I guess
more like remastering.
Yeah. Remastering, yeah. Yeah. I'm remastering issues 1 and 2 because if you go and you listen to issues 1 and 2, the audio quality's it's very grainy. Again, because we were doing it over Skype, we were limited by the tech we were using, basically. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved to issue three has a noticeable audio difference. There is a noticeable audio difference between 3 and 1 and 2. And since we're moving forward with that type of the quality level, we didn't want issues 1 and 2, the two issues that if any of the issues that we could possibly do, the two issues that would get us fans are the two issues that sound the worst, so we wanted to fix that. So now that once everybody got new microphones and or microphones and audio interfaces for their computers and stuff, and then a lot of the Audio Knights live here in Charlotte, so I was able to go to a lot of their houses and pick up new audio, new cuts of the lines with my stuff. And so we went through redid all of the dialogue for issues 1 and 2 and recut them. And now I'm going through and putting in the new dialogue, readjusting the pacing in certain scenes, putting in new sound effects. Initially, Whirl didn't really have a distinctive flight noise. His flight noise just kind of sounded like Cyclonus, you know, in the first issue where Whirl and Cyclonus fight. Well, I didn't really have a sound that differentiated the two. They both just kind of sounded the same. But there's two jets because there's two jets in the frame. Well, in issue 3, I established that Whirl, in fact, has rotors, so he's going to sound like a helicopter. So when in issue 3, when he transforms and is going to shoot the missiles at the Spark Eater and Trail Cutter stops him and all that – oh my God, I just said it. I said Trail Cutter. My bad. Trail Breaker. In that scene, when Whirl transforms, you hear a helicopter noise. And so when I went back to do issue 1, it was like, well, wait, Whirl's got to have a helicopter noise now. So now when you listen to the audio, Whirl and Cyclonus' flight noises are very distinct. They're both very different. And so I just took that, you know, our level of quality from issues 3 and 4 and applied that to the existing works from 1 and 2. And I think certainly fans of our work are going to be pleased by that because they're going to sound so much better. But I think, newcomers obviously won't notice a difference. They'll just go, wow, that sounds really good. I mean, I hope they say that.
You're all putting that deleted scene with Han and Jabba back in.
Yes, but we've replaced Jabba the Hutt with a computer-generated brazen.
So Pete does an amazing amount of work on this stuff, and like I said, we have a team of editors that are working on different aspects of the process. But Pete really puts that shine on the process and really pays attention to those details and really pulls out that extra bit. That really, you know, makes people go, wow, you know. So me and Pete on his stuff, and yeah, I mean, it's awesome to work with all these guys, from the editors to the voice actors, dealing with the fans and the celebrities. It's like a dream come true. It's like the only thing that could be better is us getting paid for it, you know. Right. and we're working on that. So
you definitely have our respect from the editing perspective.
Well, thank you.
So can we expect those remasters episodes to go up pretty soon, or is it still?
Yes, I can tell you right now, like as of this moment, issue 1 needs just a smidge more dialogue. There are two sets of dialogue that I just got in, and then something I'm actually going to have my wife is going to do a voice for me in it too, and you know, all my friends know she's a huge Transformer fan by that, not at all. but you know, she loves me, so she's going to give it a shot. I've got a couple little bits of dialogue, and then issue 1 will be complete. And I just started working on issue 2, doing the new layout. We have to cut that dialogue, obviously, and you know, make it sound pretty and everything, and put that in there. But yes, issues 1 and 2 work is progressing slower than I'd like. Because you know, I have I'm a stay at home father, and I have 2 children, so I can't really sit with my headphones on and edit with someone asking me if they can have a glass of water or juice, or telling me that somebody got hit or someone's crying or whatever, you know. So I really have to piecemeal it together. But thankfully, you know, now that we're 5 issues deep, you know, because we're working on 5 right now. And now that
working on this restoration process, we've got another team working on issue 5. So we like I said, we've learned a lot through this process, and we've really kind of streamlined it, and we really tried to we'll be cranking these out. I know the holidays kind of took their toll, and everyone's kind of picking back up from that, but we'll be getting some more stuff out here soon.
Oh nice. Yeah. So that's yeah.
So one thing that really tickled me when listening to your drama is all the G1 cartoon sound effects and 86 movie sound effects in the background music. So is there a process for choosing which music goes with the scenes in the comic? Because of course the comic is not G1, it's not the 86 movie, but I'm guessing that like you something that sounds appropriate from the 86 movie, you'll pipe it into the comic.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely feel this one because I choose a lot of that stuff. In terms of the background music, what I do when I sit down to look at what music is going to go in on each one of these, I treat the issue like as if it was a filmed episode. Because one of the things that we noticed when we went through to do these audios, all of the audios clock in at about between 25 and 28 minutes. So they're roughly the length of a cartoon show. You know, they're a half hour long.
Robert designed it that way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he designed each issue that way, and then also he designed essentially for the 20-something issues to be a season. So, you know, season one has ended, season two is what we're into now.
So. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
But what I do is when I pick the music, I discussed with Dave when I discussed with Dave taking over editing duties like last year or something. I said to him, I was like, I think the appeal of this drama is going to be that it sounds unmistakably Transformers. Like there's no, I didn't want there to be any ambiguity in terms of what this project was and what was going on in it. And I felt like the best way to do that was to use Vince DiCola's score from Transformers the movie in 86, but also there was a project that Dave found. Someone had kind of restored the songs from the original show.
Mm-hmm. And, TF Cog had done that, and they've got one of their guys. Jimbo's working on it now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a shame that's not done because I'd be using that stuff. but I wanted to make sure that, you know, because the Vince DiCola score for the 86 Transformers stands is literally some of my favorite music of all time. Like, I like, aside from being a score to a Transformers movie, it's just cool. Like, I mean, that music is so just good. It's good prog rock. You know, I mean, I'm a huge progressive rock fan, man. You know, Dream Theater and Kansas and all that kind of classical pop, I guess you call it. I love all that stuff. And so, Vince DiCola's score just screams that. Plus, I mean, you know, there are a lot of iconic themes on that, you know, dun 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 dun. I mean, that, you know, that theme is just played over and over in that movie. And so there's a lot of different places for that to happen in the comic itself. So when I go through and I look at the what's going on in the comic, what's this scene trying to say, what's the overall mood of this, and then because I'm familiar with the original score, I'll go back and be like, I think the Unicron theme would be good here, but not that one at the beginning. Let's do this the reprise at the end with the drums and stuff. Let's do that one. You know, to it's evil, but let's ramp it up a bit, you know, or so forth and so on. So I'll pick all the music based on that. Like, a good example is when you meet Cyclonus for the first time in issue one, when Cyclonus is doing his flyover and he's talking about how his world's been scorched to the bone and all of that stuff. I put the Unicron theme underneath that, you know, so it's got that, you know, that whole thing
right.
is going on underneath while he's talking. Cause Brandon Hughes, the guy who does Cyclonus, his Cyclonus is so sinister. And so it didn't make sense to put some happy music underneath that, you know? I wanted to put something that had some gravitas to it. So in terms of the sound effects are easy. Like, use the laser blasts from the show or the explosions from the show or the footfalls. The footfalls are very distinct. So, so when people are walking, if there's three different robots, I try to gauge, you know, I think in issue one, there's a time when Ratchet, Chrome Dome, and Rewind are walking together to go to the launch pad, to go to the Lost Light. And I said, I need to have three distinct different footsteps here. They're three different size Transformers, so their footsteps need to be all a different length apart, mm-hmm. and their weight needs to carry in too. So Rewind's footsteps are closer together and pitched up because he's a tinier robot. Mm-hmm. I always pictured Chrome Dome as a little taller than Ratchet, you know? Mm-hmm. So I gave him more of the weight, and his footsteps are a little farther apart. And then Ratchet's are regular. Like I didn't adjust his or adjust the timing at all. It's just straight from the actual wave file of people walking. So
yeah, we learned that trick from Transformers Prime, actually, because if you guys watch that show, if you just listen to an episode, you can actually tell which characters are in the frame by the sound that they make with their footsteps, because they make distinctive footsteps. Each one has their own footfalls.
Hmm. It seems like sound design is kind of the part of entertainment that people don't really appreciate as much as they should.
I agree.
It's like the artwork in a comic book. It's like people will skip over, go to the next thing. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I think, because there are times when we just have days where we're just, you know, our groups is just scouring for sound effects, just for the right things to go fit in the scene, or we're looking for music and that kind of thing. It's just, it takes time. And when you do the job right, when you do it well, it's like people don't even recognize or really pay attention to it, because it is so immersive. It just feels so natural and so real.
You can tell when it's done wrong.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I think this is probably going to sound like sacrilege, but I think if Ben Burtt and John Williams didn't exist, Star Wars would just be a badly written space opera.
That's a good point. Probably. Music makes movies, and sound effects too.
Yeah, I mean, what would Star Wars be without the sound of the lightsaber? And that's 100% Ben Burtt's creation. Like, he just made that. You know, that sound did not exist in nature. Or the scream of a TIE fighter. You know, or the scream of the Millennium Falcon's engines.
Yeah, I saw a video where the guy was creating the stuff for the Millennium Falcon. He grabs some stuff from a biplane and a backfiring car engine, and you just put all that stuff together. I was like, man, this is amazing, you know. And this is the stuff that we're doing. It's like we're doing the stuff that we have always dreamed to be to do. And you know, it's just like I say, it's like living the dream. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'm sure you guys were really happy when Vince Sicola got the official score released of the A6 movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So much more material.
Yeah. What I'd like to add to this question is, I'm kind of the montage guy. You know, that's what I've done thus far, is the pages with montages.
That's what
we call them. Yeah. Like where Cyclonus is given the history of the war to Tailgate, and then later Tailgate gets fed that data stream by Rewind. And like, you know, the way that, you know, we each kind of have our own thing for the sound effects, but our styles all blend very well, I'll say. What I do, I try to, you know, we all use royalty-free sound effects that we find online, you know, so they're free to use for what we're using them for. And what I do, like for the data stream that Tailgate was getting in his head, you know, Rewind is giving little bits of the war into him, and he's describing him, and he's like, oh, Megatron's rise to power. So what I did, I was like, okay, well, clearly I want a very distinctive Megatron sound from G1. So his fusion cannon, you know, that's a good rise to power sound, you know, him going,
yes.
Chung. So I was like, I want that, but I wanted it something a little different too at the same time. So I found like a sci-fi tank shot. And I was like, all right, let's see if these blend, or can I make them blend? And they did, because you hear, when you listen to it, you'll hear the G1 sound, but then you'll hear like this bassier shot that blends with it at the same time. So I like mixing in the G1 sound sporadically with sounds that I find, and I think it's a good mix there.
Yeah, it's a creative process from start to finish, and it feels so right when a scene really comes together. You know, all three of us, and actually all the editors have had those experiences where, you know, we're putting a scene together, and everything just sounds just right. I mean, everything from the dialogue pacing to the way the sound effect hits, even for some of like the humorous lines as they're delivered. I mean, everything just when it hits just right, we're like, that's where the magic is, and that's what we live for, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And it might take us like, you know, it might take us 2 hours to make one sound effect or something, but it's worth it. Like the sound bomb that happens in issue 5. I made that. I showed it to the guys, and I'm like, yeah, that took me over 2 hours to make, and it's only like, you know, a minute long or so, but it's awesome, and I'm very happy with it. So,
well, that sound bomb is also one of the MacGuffins of that issue. I mean, the sound bomb, that bomb is like the thing that sets off the entire adventure at Delphi. So it's like that needed to be definitely some sort of iconic sound, and I think you did it, man. That was really good. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to you guys checking that out.
Yeah, I mean, it really gives you an appreciation for the, you know, what people do in Hollywood sound studios and just putting together scenes, music, and that kind of thing. I mean, one of my buddies was like, he was watching one of the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoons recently, and he had it on like his Dish Network or something like that, and for some reason the music played but the dialogue cut out. And so he watched like an episode just hearing the music, and he's like, you know, I never realized that the entire time the show was playing, this orchestral music is going on. I'm like, yeah, of course, you know, there are people who spend time to do that, you know, just to round that stuff out. And I mean, that's where we discovered that. And it's like I say, it's tedious, it's time consuming, but it's magic, you know.
You may not notice it while it's there, but you'd miss it if it was gone.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, just getting back into each of your history with Transformers, how did each of you get into Transformers? Were you all just kids in the 80s and grew up with it, or what brought you in?
Yep.
Okay, I'll go.
You go first. Go first this time, Andrew.
Okay. So, you know, in the 80s, I watched G1 from the beginning. I remember sitting there watching, you know, the first, was the first series episodes called More Than Meets the Eye, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember watching that. I have memories of like the Optimus and his trailer rolling down that side of the mountain. I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, I remember that. And it's weird to say I have fond memories of it, you know, Optimus rolling down a mountain, but I remember that and I liked it. And I was like, oh God, that's awesome. So, like, you know, I only had a few of the toys as a kid, but I love them. You know, my parents wouldn't spoil me, but my next door neighbor growing up, oh man, he had everything. So I got to see all the toys there, and you know, kept a few of mine, like G1 Metroplex and Soundwave. That's really all I kept. Then when I got to be an adult, I, you know, after Revenge of the Fallen, I bought that Battle Blade Bumblebee, and then that started my whole collection, because I'm like, hey, what's this, Generations? Oh, this thing called Masterpiece. Well, that looks awesome. So that just put me in that spiral to just buy and buy and buy figures, trying to cut down now. And then,
trying to cut back, man. Trying to cut back.
Oh, I am. I'm sewing a bunch, but we'll get to that later. Then I started watching Transformers Prime right when it came on, and I really enjoyed it. It seemed I liked the darker theme of it, and I bought, you know, most of that toy line. Then I was having conversations with friends, and I'm like, you know, I really wish there was a more mature version of Transformers. And someone's like, hey, you should check out All Hail Megatron. So I checked that out and I liked it. And then I'm like, gee, I wonder what other good comics are out there. And I kept seeing previews for More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise on some of the Transformers websites, you know, like TFW and all that. And when they started showing stuff about Overlord, I'm like, wow, who's this guy? He looks really evil. And, you know, I decided to check out, you know, the More Than Meets the Eye issue where he gets unleashed on, you know, gets out of that cell and just goes on a rampage. So that's kind of where I got into More Than Meets the Eye, and I was hooked right away. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I'm looking for. This is exactly it. So started reading that, started reading formerly the comic formerly known as Robots in Disguise. Yeah. And that's kind of my history there. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. You go next, Pete?
Yeah, I'll go next. The first Transformer I ever got was Blue Streak in 1984. And nice. the whole reason that I had it was I had told my grandparents that I wanted some GoBots. GoBots. Yeah, GoBots. At the time, you know, that's Peter right about Wong. The time, you know, GoBots and Transformers had come up right about the same time, and GoBots had just a little bit of a jump. And I had been watching that on TV, and I was like, man, I got to have Leader One. I want Leader One and Psykill. I want GoBots, right? So my grandparents take me to the store, and they're like, we're going to get you some GoBots. And they didn't have any GoBots, but they had this thing called a Transformer. And it was like – it was a car that turned into a robot. I was like, well, this is just a big GoBot. And I was like, it's not really what I want, but I'll take it. And then a couple days later, I heard about this show, Transformers. And I was like, wait, I have one of those. That's okay, I'll check it out. And that was it for me, man. And you know, in 1984 – you know, I was 8 years old, and those robots in disguise came along right at the right time, man. I was absolutely hooked. I bought a whole bunch of the toys. I went out of my way to keep the toys nice because I liked them, and I wanted to, you know, you know, obviously some toys have fallen by the wayside, you know, met the business end of a radiator in a house, you know, and things like that. But I've actually throughout the time that I collect them, right about the time they released Action Masters was when I stopped collecting because I just couldn't get behind the idea of a Transformer that didn't transform. I thought that was super dumb. So
you weren't alone.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's just super dumb. So I decided not to get any more of those, but not before I had picked up, I believe the three I got were Treadshot, the Starscream that came with his little weird jet that transformed, ironically enough. The jet he rode in transformed and changed into things, but he didn't. No. That's too much to ask. And then I had Rad. So when in issue one, when Rad is one of the Autobots that gets sucked out of the ship and they mention him, I was like, I had that guy. He was dumb. Nice. He didn't transform. But
that's why they killed him.
Yeah, right. but up to that point, I had bought a whole bunch of them, you know, and then, you know, I stopped collecting, and I literally did not buy another Transformer until I got hooked up with these guys. And I bought my first Transformer in almost two decades was Transformers Generations Deluxe Class Thundercracker. And I was drawn to him because he looked like an F-15, and when he changed, he looked like the guy from the cartoon. There was no, you know, the mold had come a long way, and I was like, holy crap, this is what they look like now? That's great. And then I got Rodimus and Mirage and, you know, and so forth and so on. And then now I just started collecting again, and the most recent one I got was a Leader Class Jetfire, and he is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. I love him. But that's how I got into Transformers, and I've been a fan ever since. They're just, you know, robots that change into cars and planes and stuff, man. There's nothing cooler than that.
Well, it looks like in More Than Meets the Eye, James Roberts has brought back the Action Master concept with the Monoformers and the Militant Monoform movement. So you've got to
Yeah, well, good. Then I have more things to hate.
They have a reason for it. They have a reason for it, so it's cool.
Triple M can suck it. If you get your transformation cog removed, you're dead to me. That's right. I'm prejudiced. I'll say it. I'm afraid. Dave, what about you? How'd you get in?
I was a child of the 80s. I grew up with this stuff, seeing the cartoon and getting some of the figures. I think my first figures were, let's see here, Astro Train and Blitzwing for Christmas. I got Top Spin because I won a bet with my mom. She bet I couldn't stop chewing my fingernails for a week, and she's like, "I'll buy you this Transformer if you stop doing it." I was like, "Done." No problem whatsoever, you know, and one of my my dad got me the variant colors of Astro Train and Blitzwing, and I didn't realize that until last year actually. And so I called him up. I was like, I didn't know you went through, this extra step to find these variant figures for me for Christmas all those years ago. And he's like, did I? I don't remember that. I was like, well, thanks anyway, Dad. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, kid.
But it's just been so fun from the watching the cartoons where, I mean, just the way the animation was, where it looked like at any moment, you know, Decepticons could fly in from out of the distance and just really totally wreck your day, to just the figures themselves and just playing with them so much. I mean, you automatically get at least two toys in one. So, I mean, that's, you know, for a little kid and for a now grown man, that's still just, that's bread and butter, man. You hand a grown man a robot that transforms and he's set for the next 20 minutes at least. Especially without instructions.
So what are your guys' favorite iterations of the franchise? Or is it all G1 all the way?
I'll go ahead and be this guy.
Go ahead and get your hate out of the way, Pete.
I'm gonna. These guys know I'm notorious for my hatred. For me, it's G1 and Transformers Prime. I think Transformers Prime is an incredibly well written show. It was very, very surprising in terms of how faithfully it captured the spirit of Transformers again, for me. I am very solidly G1. These guys know they've tried over and over and over to get me to watch Beast Wars, and I'm just like, nope.
It's still my mission. I'm going to clockwork orange you. It's going to happen.
Oh, man.
Dude, don't do that, because then every time I watch an episode of G1, I'll throw up. That's not cool.
We need to lock him, Pete, and Yoshi in a room and just force them to watch Beast Wars.
No.
The babies that will come out.
Yeah, right? No, I was not. When I saw Beast Wars, I saw the concept for it, and it's like, yeah, this is going to be a show. They're going to turn into animals. I was like, nope. I'm going to go watch whatever the hell else is on. No. Optimus Primal can suck it. Nope.
So did you tell David Kay that?
Well, if he listens to this, I think he knows now. Yeah, they kept me away from him. But no, I love David Kay from other stuff. You know, not just the Megatron that I didn't watch. But no, I am definitely, those are my favorite iterations. Obviously, all of G1, because that's what I grew up with, and Transformers Prime, because it really was a good evolution, and they still changed into cars and planes and stuff. So yay.
You want to go to the next one, Andrew?
Okay, sure. I'm partially.
Oh, Andrew's eating.
I am.
Are you eating?
I was having a granola bar, but I can talk. So it's delicious. It's chocolate chip and chewy. No.
Transform into a plane?
It transforms into nourishment for my body.
Good answer.
Yeah, but no, I'm partially with Pete on that. You know, my favorite iterations are definitely G1. I still watch some episodes here and there. Got to get my wife to watch the animated movie though; she's never seen it. And I love G1. I love Transformers Prime. I just, that really recaptured my enthusiasm for Transformers when I watched it. Then I've seen some of Beast Wars. Hey, remember when it was still on Netflix? I watched some of it there, and I watched some of it there, and I was like, I asked friends, "Hey, what are some good episodes?" And I checked them out, and I was like, you know, this is actually really good. I've missed out. Then, my absolute favorite iteration is More Than Meets the Eye, the comic book, of course. It's just, I love the adult themes in there, and the fact that James Roberts has built a whole society and universe, and deals with all the issues and repercussions of being cybernetic life forms. So that's my answer. Dave?
Yeah, I started with G1. Love that feel. I think it was perfect for its time because it clearly defined roles of good and evil, and then actually worked on getting a few gray areas in there. But you know, again, it was aimed towards kids and adults in the 80s, so you know, it had to be a little trippy here and there. But it was I love that series, and I mean, I love the toys. And when it went away, and I was without for so many years, and then I heard about Generation 2, the comics, and I was like, I'm not really feeling it. They're too, you know, why does everybody have to be so broody and you know, just so violent for no reason, you know? And so I kind of gave that a rest a bit. I did like when they brought the cartoons back. And then when they released Beast Wars, I was like, oh, this is it. Because, I mean, just the writing on that show was just incredible. I mean, it was, I think for its time, Beast Wars was the more than meets the eye. You know, the comic, it was well-written characters. It was, I mean, for its time, the CGI was fantastic.
They killed off characters that you loved.
Yeah, they killed, yeah, exactly. It had all those Roberts-isms in them. But yeah, I mean, I tried some of the other series, like some of the Japanese Headmaster stuff, which was, you know, it holds a dear place in my heart because I love, like, mini bots for some reason. I Transformers Prime. It took a while to grow on me because of the writing was, it was kind of hit or miss for some issues, some episodes, I guess. But you know, overall, it was an incredible series. I think it did a great job updating. I'm glad that the movies helped to propel the franchise forward. But that's all I'll say about the movies.
We have a question coming up for that.
Okay, well, I guess we'll get some of my hatred then. But no, and then with you know, with the recent advent of More Than Meets the Eye with IDW, I mean, reading that series made me say, you know what, this IDW series is, the universe that they've created is fantastic, and so that led me on the charge to go back and reread. And actually read all the stuff that IDW had put out. So, I mean, it's an incredible world they're building there. And I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm glad that I get to read more awesome Transformers stuff, you know? So that's my, those are my favorite iterations.
All right. I think you guys, kind of answered that you're basically into everything. I was going to ask if you were into toys, comics, TV shows, and movies, but, I think you've answered that. So, I'll move on to we are talking about More Than Meets the Eye, the comic. Have you guys explored the rest of the IDW universe? So, you know, all the other, there's a lot of comics out there. IDW's had the license since, I guess, 2006, 2005. So they've got a lot of comics. So how far have you gotten into the universe?
Now, since I've already answered and said I've read everything that they have, I'll let Andrew and Pete take this one.
I read All Hail Megatron was my first thing I've read from IDW and really liked that. I've read, you know, of course, More Than Meets the Eye, Robots in Disguise. I read that. I checked out the, what was that called? The Primacy, Autocracy, Monstrosity. I've checked out those. Still have two issues left on the, whatever the last one of those was. And
Primacy, yeah.
Yeah, Primacy. And check that out. I've checked out a lot of the Spotlight comics. Okay. I was interested in those, so I checked out a bunch of those. Just about all of those, I think, almost. But other than, you know, Transformers, I haven't really looked at a lot of IDW's books. You know, only have so much time in every day, but I'm sure they have other books besides Transformers that I would love to read that would really capture my attention.
And this is the question about have we read any other IDW books, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, other Transformers.
The IDW Transformers universe, I mean, you know, there's a lot before More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah, I've only read More Than Meets the Eye, and I haven't even finished the entire series yet. I know you can hate on me later. I haven't finished the whole thing yet, and I wanted to read a little bit of Robots in Disguise as well, because I wanted to know, you know, when they meet up in Dark Cybertron, I wanted a little backstory for that as well. But usually, most of the time that I have Comixology open on my tablet, it's so I can edit. So that's usually the only time I've got it open. That's why I can't catch up. My vice is video games. So when I've got, you know, when I've got free time coming at me, that's usually what I'm doing.
Yeah. And actually, I think Pete was the one that turned me on to, the War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron series, because those games are incredibly
Oh yeah,
and then for them to release the figures too, that I mean, it just made sense.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the War for Cybertron, and most especially Fall of Cybertron, those games are so wonderful. they're just great. I mean, you know, it took some company. You know, obviously it took the gaming industry a long time to really, I think, take Transformers seriously as a video game medium. I remember I was talking about this with Dave a few weeks ago. I remember the first Transformers game for PlayStation 2 that was based on Transformers Armada.
Yeah.
Which is another show I just couldn't get behind. Minicons can also suck it. especially since I played that video game, and that video game is a terrible steaming pile of crap. I get it. You know, you're supposed to, you know, you get to play only as three Autobots. You get to play as Optimus, Red Alert, who for some reason in that game turns into an SUV, whatever. Yeah.
It's a different character. That's all you can say.
Character. Red Alert, and then Hotshot, I think, is the other one. I think he's like the roadster car. And you have to go around and you have to collect the mini bots or whatever, or the minicons. And the minicons, you put them on you, and they give your Transformer special powers. But no, you can only put on certain ones. Because if you put on all the cool ones, it'll say, oh, you've overloaded. It's like, really? Shut up. I should be able to put all of those on and be superpowered. No? Okay, whatever. And then so that game I felt like was just an abomination. And then at one point you get to a point where you literally cannot progress unless you have the minicon that makes you fly. If you don't have that guy, you cannot complete the game. Like you can't move on. And that's just a breaker for me, because
I'm glad I skipped that one.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of level design in video games, and I felt like that was just, whoever put that in the game needed smacked and fired. Because that's just dumb. but War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron, man, what a turnaround. Those games are so fantastically amazing. I mean, in Fall of Cybertron, when Metroplex comes out, it's like, oh, okay, I'm good. You could literally, like, the rest of this game could be a big pile of crap, but I got to control Metroplex and blow shit up with him, so dig it. You know?
Yeah.
So if I can make for the IDW comics, I can make a recommendation. Definitely you should check out Last Stand of the Wreckers. If you haven't checked that out, that ties directly into More Than Meets the Eye. So
I have not read it, but you know what? We'll address that when that question comes up.
Okay. And you should also check out Transformers versus G.I. Joe, just for completely off the wall.
Read the original Marvel line of Transformers versus G.I. Joe way back in the day.
This has nothing to do with that.
I know. I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
But it is drawn in that retro style.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah. If you want to see like Jack Kirby. It looks
straight out of the 80s, man.
It is psychedelic. It'll be a psychedelic experience for you.
Yeah, I saw the trade paperback for it at the bookstore the other day.
So I guess we'll round out the general Transformers talk with the elephant in the room. So what do you guys think of the live action movies?
Oh, someone else.
I think it's great that we got to see giant transforming robots on screen. And I'm glad that the figures perform so well so that Hasbro can keep putting out toys and comics and video games for us. I'm so happy about that.
Diplomatic answer ever.
Very, very nice, Steve.
Thank you.
It was well put. There was no venom in that at all. I'm shocked.
We'll save Pete's venom for the for after my answer, I guess. But I like the first and the third movie the best because they actually had decent stories there. You know, they were enjoyable to watch. The second one, it has a lot of eye candy, but it's just a bunch of set pieces connected with minimal plot. You know, that was during the writer's strike, so that was the best they could do. Then the Age of Extinction was, you know, I almost felt like it was kind of the same deal, except there was no writer's strike. They just had a bunch of, you know, set pieces, to base the action around, and just a very loose plot, you know. But all of them, I enjoyed each of them for different reasons. They all have great eye candy. I mean, the special effects and the way the Transformers look is just awesome. And, you know, like what Dave said, I'm happy that they're so successful because they really put Transformers into the forefront of media, and they keep people's attention on it. And then they might go, oh, well, I like the movies, so maybe I would like this other aspect of Transformers. So that's what I think. Pete, ready for Venom?
Well, I can say this. I think that Industrial Light and Magic did a great job at making the Transformers look awesome. And I think Michael Bay did a great job at making Transformers look stupid. I told these guys this story not too long ago about I went over to a friend of mine's house and he wanted to check out his new 3D TV, and like made all any movie you put it in, you can flip a switch and make it 3D with the glasses or whatever. So I'm like, cool, okay, let's do that. Well, let's watch Transformers. I'm like, okay, well, that'll be fun. And I'm sitting there watching it. You know, this is the first one, the 2007. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, you know, I never really realized before, this actually is a pretty cool movie. Like, I'm into it. And then they showed Sam's parents. Mm-hmm. And the whole movie goes downhill. When the Autobots get to Sam's house that first time, and they're bumbling around in the backyard like a bunch of idiots.
Calm down.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just, oh God. That's when that's
you got a blown Transformer.
That's actually what he says. That's what Optimus says.
Oh yeah, calm down.
He said, calm down.
Yeah. Easy, Ironhide. You know, just
we do not hurt humans. What is with you?
Yeah, what is with you?
We just pee on them.
Yeah, what's up, bitches?
This looks like a cool place to kick it. I'm like, oh my God, you made Jazz a racist. Thanks. That's fantastic. You know, just Michael at that Winston. Point, man, the movie just takes this weird turn into we're trying to be funny with robots, and it's like. To me, I don't think they should have never tried to be funny with the robots, because the robots, I mean, as dumb as it sounds, the robots had a very real struggle going on and a very, very real reason why they had to hide. And here they are bumbling around in some kid's backyard. Like, he crushes the fountain. My bad. Like, Optimus Prime would never say that. Oh my God. F you. He would never say that in a million years ever.
Do you forget that he did play basketball in G1?
Huh?
You forget that Optimus Prime did play basketball in G1?
Yeah, I didn't like
that. Maybe he picked up some language and stuff.
I was just glossing that over. of the myriad of Transformers episodes that were in the initial G1 run, we latch on to that one.
I'm just saying, you know, if Powerglide can find love, Optimus can dunk.
And see, that's weird, because that's one of my favorite episodes. I don't know why. It was very endearing, very heartfelt. But no, in terms of the movies, I think all of them are crap. I think Dark of the Moon I would tell you that I think that Dark of the Moon is pretty badass. Like, I like Dark of the Moon, and the reason I like Dark of the Moon is because they didn't make any attempt to make the Transformers the butt of a joke. They're not that. That's where I think the all of those movies go wrong.
That's not the movie I saw.
What, Dark of the Moon? Nah, Dark of the Moon was good. Dark of the Moon was cool.
But wasn't that the one with the two racist Transformers that turn into the ice cream truck?
That's Revenge of the
that
Fallen.
That was Revenge of the Fallen. Oh. That movie sucks.
they killed Ironhide in this one and killed Starscream with one shot and did nothing with Shockwave and had Optimus floundering around in wires for half the movie. But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, he just appears with a jetpack. That was one thing I didn't like about that one. You know, he's gone for a while, and then he just shows up wearing a jetpack. I'm like, it would have been cool to see his trailer, like, form onto his back into that, you know?
Yeah, but the jetpack was pretty awesome.
That was.
At least the jetpack wasn't a dead former comrade.
Yeah, exactly. Merge with me as I die. Take all my pieces, and Optimus Prime becomes a combiner. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Put my arms and legs on your person and then fly.
make sure Devastator doesn't teabag me.
Oh, God. See, yeah, then we're going back into the that's why those movies are terrible. Because John Turturro, a very awesome actor in his own right, has to pause and make a ball sack joke about Devastator. Seriously? Really? I want my $8 back.
All right, yeah, let's swing back to some positivity here.
Yay! All
right. Objection. I would like the witness to continue.
Do you want more of my Michael Bay abortion talk? Is that what you want?
No, Yoshi eats that up. He will join you in that all day long.
Yoshi, you and I are friends now.
I think we were friends and didn't realize it.
You guys are Spark Brothers.
One of our most downloaded episodes around the movie period was Yoshi and a friend. He just hit record on his phone as they were driving away from the theater and just bitching about the entire episode. And that was downloaded so many more times than other episodes that month.
People love a good rant, man.
People love Yoshi.
Who doesn't love Yoshi? If I hit him on the head, his tongue sticks out and grabs an apple. Yay.
And he goes, yo.
All right. Anyway,
yeah. So let's bring it back to the Audio Nights. So, do you have future projects planned in addition to More Than Meets the Eye,
Dave?
We absolutely do. In the spirit of us catering to the comic book industry, we do have a few projects that we're working on. One, most notably, is Brian Shearer's William the Last comic book series. It's an incredible series. I don't know if you guys have gotten the pleasure of checking it out, but if you go to williamthelast.com, you can see all of his stuff. You can actually read everything that he's put out so far in webcomic form. And we're actually working with him to provide a full audio drama component for it.
Oh, nice. I haven't checked out the comic, so I'll definitely do that.
It's very, very good. It's very good.
It's really awesome. And in addition to that, we've got some other things in the works. We do still want to touch on the Last Stand of the Wreckers series. We want to do it justice, so we're putting some things together for that. But as far as non-Transformers items, we have a couple of other projects that we can't speak on right now, but we are getting those in the process as well. So we've got our hands full, and we're of course looking for more voice actors and more editors to help us in this process too. So if you're interested, you know where to find us.
Oh, and we're going to be making more dramatic reads, I think, too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2015 is definitely going to be our big
push.
Oh,
you said 2005.
I did. That was a Cybertronian slip.
God, where's my white jumpsuit?
Where's my hoverboard, man?
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to ride style.
Well, we're going.
We don't need roads.
All the Back to the Future fans are complaining about not getting the hoverboards this year. We've been complaining for 10 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know, right? But so, yes, so we've got a lot of, you know, we've got the William the Last audio drama coming up. We've got the other two, or, you know, two projects we can't talk about. Last Stand of the Wreckers, we are definitely going to touch on that soon. And, of course, more dramatic reads because Roberts keeps writing books.
Yep. So are you still looking for voice actors and accepting auditions?
Always.
All right.
Yep. Always. Yeah, always.
You can go to
Go ahead.
You can go to our website, the Audio Nights Theater, and that's T-R-E, like the French way of theater at the end. So the Classy. Audio Nights Theater, yeah, go to the audionightstheater.com, and we have a tab at the top that says Crewditions, and that's where you can find our auditions. And, you know, it has a primer there, which I suggest if you want to audition, you read all the info there because you want to send us your best work and read that and email your links to your auditions to us. But that's where any roles that we're casting will be posted right there.
You know one role that we're not looking for, though?
What's that?
What's that?
It's Blaster, because I believe we've got a guy who's already who's going to be recording for that. Do you want to say anything about that, Steve?
Yeah, so I did.
You two-timing son of a bitch.
Yeah, so I guess Blaster has a couple of lines of dialogue in More Than Meets the Eye issue number 6, so... you might hear a familiar voice on that issue. So yes, I did audition for that and was awarded the role. I hope. I think. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. We're gonna be giving you some primer stuff. We're gonna do it Rocky style. I'm gonna get the towel for you, Rock. We're gonna make a voice actor out of you.
It's gonna be an audio night. There you go.
All right. Welcome aboard.
See, crossing fan bases already, man. Breaking down walls, boundaries.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
That's right.
So, do you have any advice for amateurs interested in voice acting?
Oh, I do. All right, so one thing I would say is definitely you got to practice the voices. You know, you want to practice different voices, you know. And if you're looking to audition for us, you know, not everyone needs an accent. But if you want to do an accent, especially one that you're not used to doing, I would strongly suggest you go on YouTube and look up, you know, how to speak, you know, Australian, if you want to speak Australian, if you want to learn some other, you know, French accent or whatever, look it up on YouTube. There are, I guarantee there's lessons there that will teach you, you know, everything you need to know about speaking a certain way. Like, I had to teach myself how to speak, you know, like an Australian for pipes. And I had to work on that for like 2 or 3 weeks to kind of get it down where I wanted it. And it pays off to really put the work into it. Then I would also say, you know, you got to go with your gut on a character. If you think this character needs your natural voice, do that. You know, if it needs an accent, do that. And then I would also say, you want to get an audio interface and a decent microphone. You know, you want us to take you seriously. You want to send us your best audio. So you really need to make that little investment in some proper equipment. You know, it doesn't cost that much. You can even get like a USB microphone, you know, a decent one, and that won't run you too much. So that's my advice.
Yep. Focusrite and Shure make some incredible inputs as well as microphones and headphones and so a lot of equipment that you can use. And if you follow us on Twitter and other social media, you'll see some things, some products that we recommend and different tips that you can different check out as well. Additionally, we're developing a format where it's just for our voice actors, kind of an Audio Nights improv and voice actor workshop. Where we're going to be doing this stuff on Skype and on Google Hangouts. We'll announce when and where. But it gives the fans the opportunity to come in, and voice actors, whether you're amateur or pro, you can get it. You can get a chance to come in and work on some voices and kind of play around and kind of get some feedback, some live feedback from our group to kind of really just, I mean, just everyone benefits from that. So just come in, have some fun, and like I said, just keep looking at our social media. We'll be announcing when we'll be doing that.
My advice for amateurs that are interested in voice acting was the question. My advice for you, for people like that, is if you want to get into it and nobody is hiring, just make your own. We did.
Mm-hmm.
just decide that you want to do a project, get some like-minded friends, and you know, lay something down, bounce ideas off each other, and you know, see what sticks. More importantly, you know, keep working on it. You know, you're never going to get. You're never going to really nail a character the first time you try it, I don't think. That's right. It's any character. That's not just, you know, Transformer stuff, but anything, any voice that you want to do for a character or whatever. I mean, you're never really going to nail it on the first try. And so the best thing to do would be just to keep working on it. Let some people listen to it, you know, take all the feedback, positive and negative. Somebody tells you suck, man, get better. You know, that's the best way. Don't get discouraged by any means. You know, if someone says that something you're doing isn't good, work on it till it is good. Don't be like, well, I can't do that. I just suck at life, man. You know, don't do that. You know, if many years ago somebody told me that I could not play music professionally because I wasn't very good at it, and if I'd have just given up, I wouldn't be where I am today. You know, I wouldn't have a, you know, 20 some odd career in professional music. So, you know, so you just got to keep trying at it and keep being better.
There are tons of fan groups out there that are looking for people to voice act and their different thing. I mean, it's a lot of things that, you know, you won't get paid for, but you got to build that experience. You got to get in there and try something. So, I mean, find something to volunteer in. Find something that you're passionate about and go after it. And like I said, just volunteer your time, volunteer your voices, and as you get better, you'll find more roles and more things that kind of stick out to you. So.
And eventually someone might actually pay you for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
All right. We talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, but I just wanted to come back to the topic about marrying the audio drama format with motion comics, or even, I don't know, transitioning to a fully animated production. I mean, we talked about a lot of More Than Meets the Eye fans would like to see the comic get animated in some form. So what do you guys think about that?
Oh, Dave, go ahead. I know you're dying to talk about it.
Sure. That's cool. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the thing I think we all would love to do is work on animation, you know, because you know, the voice acting, the music, the sound effects, that all lends itself well to a self-contained visual representation. If you don't have that, you know, what can you do from there? What we found is that there are a lot of innovations out there for motion comics, and certainly madefire.com is one of the premier places that you can go for motion comics. So we're actually looking, and we're actually working on some projects right now to put our audio drama with actual motion comics. I think it's got a great way to reach a lot of people. It's got a lot of things to offer artists and writers who, whether they're already published or they're looking to get published or they don't have the money to start up to actually get print media, digital is a great way to distribute and really get your stuff out in front of lots of other people. I listened to a podcast recently where it talked about if Stan Lee and Steve Ditko were looking to release comics in this day and age, what kind of innovations would they use? And they absolutely would use motion comics because it has the potential to reach so many more people than, you know, just your local comic shop. So, one thing that we see with motion comics is that there is a distinctive lack of audio dramas, and that's what we're looking to provide. We're looking to make that just make that option available for people.
Mm-hmm. I think personally that the idea of a motion comic. I think that's going to be the new thing. That's going to be one of the next things that really helps comic books reach a larger audience. A lot of people that I know would be very, very into reading a comic book, but most of them don't want to go to a comic book shop. You know, they don't want to go, you know, they don't want to drive down to a comic book shop and pick one off the rack, you know, because if you've never been to one before, they're a little overwhelming. I mean, there's a lot of titles on the shelves. Most of them do not say issue one. So you're at that point, you're joining a comic in media res, you know, so you may not be able to or want the time to hunt down those other issues. But something like motion comics, I mean, those can be posted on, you know, in sequential order on a website. You don't have to go down to the comic book store. You can just click it and watch it, you know. And I think with the way technology is now, you know, everybody's got a smartphone, everybody's got a tablet, everybody's got, you know, their computer, everybody's connected, you know, everybody uses the internet virtually every day. So a product like that with just sheer ease of access and still being a comic book, because motion comics traditionally aren't really animated. Like, some elements of the frame might move around, but they're still not, you know, it's not animation. It's still very much a static thing. I mean, one of the reasons that I think that comic books are so effectual is because of the artwork, because of the time that the artists take to draw those frames and make them look the way they do. So in a motion comic, you can still celebrate that artwork. That artwork is still there. It's still the drawing. The only difference is when the frame's done and the dialogue and sound effects and the music are done, you move on to the next frame like you would a movie. And I think a lot of people, like my mom, she would never in a million years go to a comic book store and buy a comic book. That's just not something I would ever get my mom to do. But if I handed her a tablet and clicked a link and it was a motion comic that she could lose herself in for 20 minutes, she would totally do that. And that's my mom, you know, like, I mean, I could probably get my wife to do that. I could definitely get my kids to do that, you know? And so I think the motion comics, you know, I think the ultimate marriage would be the ability to do a motion comic and marry it with the product that the Audio Knights offer, you know, the way we do all the voices, we do all the sound effects, we do all the music, and put all of that as a soundtrack underneath a motion comic. I think that's a marriage made in heaven right there. I think that's the new thing. I hope I'm right. You know.
All right. So now, Dave, Jeremy, and I met you at TFCon Chicago this year, and I know this year, unfortunately, Shardacon is not continuing this year. But do you guys have any other plans to go to Transformers Cons?
Oh, absolutely, Transformers Cons as well as comic book conventions in general. But yeah, I'm looking. We're actually talking and getting the group to just kind of road trip and do TFCon and BotCon this year. We're just seeing where TFCon is going to be this year. We hope they come back to the States because I totally want to do their show. I had a lot of fun there. It felt like family being there. Everyone was so nice. It was so well organized. And I missed having, you know, Pete and Andrew there. I had to get them souvenirs because they weren't there, you know. So it's just a great time to just commune with the other fans, you know, and that's just that kind of stuff I love. Are you guys going to any shows this year?
We're hoping. We've talked about it. I think we're waiting until TFCon announces something.
Okay. Yeah, I mean we're trying to get one where all four of us can go since we haven't been able to do that yet. And I think Jeremy and I are the only ones who have actually met in person.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Daryl and I were kind of like ships in the night.
Get on the bus.
Daryl and I were both at TFCon Toronto 2011. We just didn't know each other at that time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh. But Yoshi's in Alaska, and it's kind of hard to get all of us in the same place.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, we have the you know, the three of us have the benefit we all live in the same city, so like we you know, Dave and Andrew and I regularly hang out.
Okay, well, cool.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say like regularly, but you know.
Yeah, often enough.
Yeah, I hate you guys. I hate you guys.
we tolerate each other's presence here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be awesome to go to a Transformers convention. The only one that I've been to was Sharkticon, and you know, I was really jealous, Dave, you know, seeing Dave go to TFCon, and I'm like, oh, I have to work, you know, Sunday morning, and I had to save up all my remaining time off to get married in a different country and all that. So, you know, but I mean,
I had a musical gig.
The priorities.
Yeah.
I know, priorities. Yeah, but, you know, I'm hoping this year we can, you know, we can go to that Heroes Con locally, and maybe if TFCon comes around, you know, the U.S., I would love to go to that. That would, you know, seeing the pictures of it that Dave took and the videos, I was just so jealous, you know, getting to meet all you know, James Roberts and all the artists and stuff. Oh, man.
Very so smart of Dave to set up a dinner with all the IDW guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was forward thinking.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was.
We'll bribe you with food if you want to come.
Yeah.
and thanks for letting Charles and me tag along.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love, you know, when I meet people in the fandom, and especially as cool as you guys, you know, it's a no-brainer to have you guys hang around. So, you know. Well, you know, you're essentially family, so, you know, awesome. You're stuck with me now. You're stuck with me.
Some of y'all should do some crewditions for us.
Well, Charles already did, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like Charles the others, did, too. Yeah.
I've wanted to. I just, every time I got a chance to sit down at my computer, I was editing a podcast, so.
Well, I understand editing audio takes a long time.
Yeah, it does.
We know all about that.
But I'd like to, you know, having a baby now, I find myself making a lot of funny voices again, and mm-hmm. I'd like to try it sometime.
You're more than welcome, man.
Yeah, send us what you got, and like I said, once we get those improv and work voice actor workshops going, you're welcome to pop in when we have those as well. So
that'd be cool.
All right, so I think we've finished up all the questions we had for you. So thanks for sitting on this interview and telling us about your project.
You for having us.
Oh yeah,
absolutely,
it was great. And before you go, we do have a little segment we call the rapid fire questions. So
you didn't prepare us for these.
Yeah. All right,
these are the blindside questions.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, I think you're gonna take over and shoot these rapid fire questions out.
Yeah, I'll do it. So what we'll do, I just maybe have you guys answer in the same order every time, just so it's easy to keep track. But whoever wants to jump in first can.
How about Andrew, Pete, Dave?
All right, that sounds good.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So first question: Autobot or Decepticon?
Autobot.
Autobot.
Decepticon.
Dick.
All right, and who is your favorite Autobot and or Decepticon?
Favorite Autobot? I would have to go with Grimlock. Favorite Decepticon? Megatron.
It's based on what you answered previously.
Oh, okay. Well, I would go with Grimlock then. All
right. I would have to go with Jetfire.
I'm going to go with Shockwave.
All right. Oops. Live action movies, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
One.
Three.
1986.
Oh.
That's right. Specifically excluded because we know most people would pick that one.
Uh-huh. It's like, what's your second favorite Transformers movie?
If I had to choose, it would probably be the third one.
Yeah, see? Yeah. You like it.
All right. Megan Fox, Rosie Huntington-Wheatley, or Nicola Peltz?
Ooh, I guess Nicola Peltz.
Jay obeyed. Rosie.
Man, that's a tough one.
You can also answer Shia LaBeouf or Mark Wahlberg. We aren't discriminating.
I think I saw a Transformer.
You know what? I do have a man crush on Shia, so I'm gonna go with Shia.
Because
right. I'm totally hetero. I'm just saying.
Shia's
pretty cool in my book. I know he's gotten a bad rap in the movies.
Nothing wrong with that, buddy.
Shia LaBeouf.
The next one,
Actual
I think.
Cannibal. Shia LaBeouf. Sorry.
Have you guys seen Actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf on YouTube?
I have heard that. I heard that on the Moonbase podcast. I haven't watched it yet.
You need to look that
hilarious.
Up. It's hilarious. Especially yeah, with the. There's a couple of different. There's a couple of different animated versions that are just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, okay, go. Check that out.
Yep.
All right, this next one, I think I know the answer to for all three of you. More Than Meets the Eye or Robots in Disguise?
More Than Meets the Eye.
More Than Meets the Eye.
I think I'm going to go say More Than Meets the Eye.
Thank you, right. Kermit.
You're hey, welcome, it's Biggie.
All right, third-party toys, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Got Warden. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cats or dogs?
Both.
Dog.
Dogs.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Coffee.
Ooh. A spot of tea, governor.
All right.
Yes, quite.
Lame.
Chicken or steak?
We're just more refined than you, man. Don't
yeah.
No hate.
Chicken
well,
or steak?
Well, you're in the South, so you know sweet tea counts.
Oh yeah. I'll
go with my own, ladies. Oh,
very nice. All right, chicken or steak? I'll go with chicken.
Steak.
Steak.
All right. Pepsi or Coke?
Can I say root beer?
Yeah,
it's like way better.
Neither. I stopped drinking soda years ago.
Yeah, I'm more
okay,
of a.
Coke.
can I say vodka?
Yeah, I guess
it comes in a bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I would stay away from vodka in a can, though.
Yeah. You don't want that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Burger King or McDonald's?
Oh, neither. But if I had to choose Burger King.
Yeah, I would also choose Burger King.
Mickey D's, man. It's the fries. The fries do it.
All right, history or science?
Science.
Science.
Science!
All right, Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Xbox.
I'm gonna say PlayStation, even though I have a 360. I need to get one. It's got a better library of RPGs, and I don't know why I'm still talking, but yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
One word answers, asshole.
We endorse PS4 now.
Yeah, I got a PS4. It's awesome.
Sorry. Yeah. Rapid fire. Gotcha.
All right. Call of Duty or Battlefield?
Ooh, Call of Duty.
Battlefield.
COD.
All right. PC or Mac?
Ooh, PC.
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 iPhone or Android?
Android.
Android.
Droid.
Droid.
What phone app can you not live without?
Oh, God. That's a tough one.
Comixology, obviously.
I'd probably go with...
Why'd you even ask that silly question?
I go with Facebook on that.
This is supposed to be rapid fire. I know. I'm sorry.
We'll just cut out all the silence.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm also going to go with, you know what? Gmail.
Yep.
I'm just going to say every social media app. Go on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Oh, make mine Marvel.
All right. Well, and who is your favorite Marvel character?
Oh boy. I would have to say Spider-Man. Maybe Wolverine.
Wow, that's a great question. Gambit.
I would say the mutant terror, currently the mutant terrorist, Scott Summers. That's awesome, man. You really need to be reading Uncanny X-Men. It's totally cool.
All right. Yep. Stallone, Schwarzenegger.
Ooh, Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Get to the chopper!
All right, is Scarlett Johansson or Angelina Jolie?
Oh, Scarlett Johansson, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's not even a question. Scarlett Johansson.
Scarred you all the way.
She's awesome.
All right. Twilight or Hunger Games?
Hunger Games. Twilight Hunger sucks. Games.
Twilight does suck.
If I have to choose, Hunger Games.
All right, Pixar or DreamWorks?
God, making me pick there. Both? I like both.
Not an option.
Oh, damn it. All right, then DreamWorks.
Pixar.
Pixar.
All right, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, God, that's not fair. I'm one of those weird people that equally likes both of them. But, you know, right now I think Star Wars is, you know, the thing that I'm looking forward to more. So I'm going to go with Star Wars.
Star Wars, also not a question.
Yeah, Star Wars.
All right. Simpsons or Family Guy?
Simpsons. Been watching forever.
Family Guy.
Family Guy. Family Guy.
All right. Walking Dead or Game of Thrones?
Man, I've not seen much of either, but I'll go with Walking Dead.
Aneurysm. Aneurysm. Medic. Someone call Ratchet.
It's a geekurysm. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
All right. NFL, MLB, NHL, or NBA?
I'll go with the NFL.
NHL all the way, baby.
NFL.
I'm just happy we had at least a majority football on this.
Yeah, I already said I was watching football today. So,
well, yeah, most of our responses have been NHL, just to make Daryl happy, I think. Porsche, Ferrari, or Lamborghini?
Oh man, I'll go with Lamborghini. They always catch my eye.
I will also say Lamborghini.
Yep, side swipe for me too.
Yeah. Right.
Red alert. The last question is blonde, brunette, or redhead?
I got to go with redhead. I married one. I love her.
I will go with brunette for the same reason.
There you go.
I will go with redhead, though I do not currently have one, but I hear they're fiery lads. Well, totally. Can you refer me to any? Is there like a surplus store or
come to work with me sometime.
Okay. Coolness. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, that question should be renamed. What color is your your significant other's hair? All right. Well, that is the rapid fire questions. Thanks for running the gauntlet.
Oh, sure thing. And redhead, brunette, or blonde for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Brunette.
All right.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, so we'll put links in our show notes and everything, but where can we get find you online? So I know we can go to your website, theaudionightstheater.com, but where else can people find you?
You can find us on Twitter.
Oh, Tailgate had to tell you that.
We're also on Instagram. let's see, what else are we? We're like everywhere. Facebook. We're
SoundCloud.
We're all over the place. iTunes.
Let's see. We're rapid fire them off. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Vine, SoundCloud, DeviantArt, Tumblr. Did I forget one?
MySpace.
Probably. MySpace. Yeah, we even have a MySpace page. We're going to make MySpace relevant again. We're going to do it.
Could we get your ICQ number, too?
One.
I still remember mine. I have a 7-digit number.
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys, for coming on and talking to us about your project. And we hope to get issue 5 out soon. So we're looking. We're waiting for that. And also, I'm going to check out the remastered 1 and 2 when you guys get that out, too. That sounds great.
Yeah, those are coming. Yes. Those are coming. I promise. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks everyone for listening. As always, I want to remind our listeners you can rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. We appreciate getting feedback and getting ratings. Those always help us get visibility for the show and keep people listening. Also, you can give us feedback on our website and on Twitter and Facebook. We check our social media, so you can give us feedback, and we do read feedback on the show, so that's a big part of the show. We like to respond to our listeners, and we are still pushing our G1 cartoon as a comic petition, so we have that set up. So if you're interested in adding another great comic to the already great stable of IDW comics that are out there, we're interested in seeing if we can continue the G1 cartoon as a comic series. So if you're interested in that, please go and check out that petition, and we'll have links to that on our website and in our show notes.
Oh, I'll sign that. Cool.
All right. Great. Another signature. Great.
It's a good idea.
And thanks to the Audio Nights Theater for coming on, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys. Very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks for picking up our transmission. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com, where you can find all of our contact info on social media and links to all of our show notes discussed in each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.